Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Brihadaranyaka Upanishads, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Swamiji will be lecturing on highlights of the Upanishads, focusing on Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. This is series 2013. And now our revered guru, Sri Swami Jyotirmayanandaji.
Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Chapter 1, Section 4, Mantra number 16. Atmanam eva lokam upasita. Saya atmanam eva lokam upasate. Nahasya karmakshiyate. Asmadhyeva atmano yat kamayate. Tattat srijate. This Atma is the loka of all beings. Insofar as he makes offerings and sacrifices, he becomes the world of gods. Insofar as he studies the Vedas, he becomes the world of the rishis. All these are highly mystical statements. First point, this Atma. Atma relates to the self, the innermost self. Who am I? The I am in you is the Atma. It is center, the support, the reality behind the entire universe. So let me give you more illustrations about that point. Think of the ocean. There are millions of waves. Each wave is like an individual being, jivas. Jivas are individual waves. The reality behind all jivas is like the ocean. So, you can understand, the Atma of every wave is the loka, is the abode of all waves. The word loka is very important. It comes from the roots in Sanskrit, which means to look, to see. English word has been adopted on the very same basis. Look. Eyes are called lochan. The vision is lochan. From lochan, the function of it, the field of that vision is loka. The word seeing, looking, is simply figurative. Even when you're calm, quiet, your senses are withdrawn, yet you are seeing your thoughts. The seeing process never stops. But you are seeing not in the light, usual light. There the light is your awareness, consciousness. If you were to look for the center, the source, the support of all seeing process, the answer is the Atma, the innermost self. That am I. In that mystic center, transcending mind, intellect, and senses, you are the reality behind all that exists. And so, keeping that in view, this Atma is the loka of all beings. Insofar as he makes offerings and sacrifices. In Vedic, practice of Vedic religion, these terms are important. Homa and Yajna. Homa, you offer some sacred materials into the fire with mantras. By Homa, you are invoking God's presence. The next stage, things you offer, they burn up. Fragrance emanates from it. the subtle meaning behind it, in order to evolve in a spiritual way, you have to go on invoking God's presence within you. You have to go on recognizing a divine purpose of your life, recognizing God being the source of your mind and intellect. That aspect of recognition is like you are invoking. Along with it, you sacrifice the lower self. Lower self is always described in the terms of animals. At the mass level, reading these scriptures of animal sacrifice, people became interested in sacrificing animals. So even many big cultured cities, nowadays is very limited, but there are people where animals are sacrificed in the name of religion. But the real meaning behind, it was abundant at the time of Buddha. When Buddha came to play his role, he stopped this focus on sacrificing animals. He picked up a sheep, carried on his shoulder, opposing all the sacrifice. Of course, that's another story. People began to listen. The idea behind it all, that sacrificing animal, that's because the mind is dull. Sacrifice the animal in you. That's real yajna. And when you sacrifice an animal, sacrifice means, remember 3 S. Anger is your animal. Now deal with that animal, 3S formula. Suppress. Anger is coming. Something has happened, your mind is swelling with anger. But anger is coming, but don't let your mind swell up. As if someone is coming through your door and will shut the door. Someone is coming and you know by confrontation you are going to spill out a lot of agitated words. Then what should you do? Close the door. Go to your refrigerator. Cold water. So first thing is suppression. Next, substitution. Go on always remembering that you are made in the image of God. So deep down, you are all loving. So think of the quality that is opposed to anger. The quality that is opposed to anger is love, forgiveness, forbearance. And try to create an affirmation that I am the embodiment of love. Not right now, but that's my health. It's like you are patient, sneezing all the time. Then you make an affirmation that this is not me. The real me doesn't sneeze all the time. The real me is calm, relaxed, radiating peace like Buddha, like Christ, like sages and saints. And continue doing that, then what happens? Your anger becomes sublimated. The life of Homa and Yajna, invoking the divine within you and allowing the negative qualities to be sacrificed. 2 aspects in human nature. Human nature is a mix-up. Mix-up of Devi and Asuri. Devi is divine qualities. Scriptures talk them, give them another name, Devi Sampat, divine wealth. All great virtues, they are divine wealth. It is that wealth that you really enjoy. The outer wealth is superficial. It's just like you may have wonderful clothes, wonderful neckties, wonderful overcoats and all types of things with jewels and all that. But what you really enjoy is your physical health, mental physical health. Clothes adorn you, but real health is something different. In the same way, you may live in this world with great success, great fame, but if you are unable to control your anger, your hate, unable to experience expansion in your heart, unable to exercise goodness, then internally you are impoverished. Externally you are very rich. And it becomes therefore a shallow life. Daivi and Asuri. Daivi's divine movement is also known as, gods are also known as Sura. Demons are called Asura. People who are involved in music, they talk about Sur and Asur. Sur means being in tune. Asur means being out of tune. If you are in tune with your profound nature, total, all good qualities, they go on putting you in tune. And therefore, there is a type of happiness that you gain by acts of compassion, charity, goodness. That type of happiness you can't get from anything else. It puts you in tune with, call it God, call it Creator, God will the world, in tune with the deepest root, the wave being in tune with the ocean, the ray being in tune with the sun. And that becomes the great purpose of life. Move away from being out of tune to being in tune. Those negative qualities that have developed. When you are out of tune in music, you begin to sing like buffaloes and donkeys. In tune, you sing like nightingales and cuckoos. So come into tune. That's the first and foremost important project for you for attaining liberation. And this, he becomes the world of gods. Very allegorical statement. If you are putting yourself in tune with your source, your world is not the world of senses. Your world is not the world of sentiments. All these are there, but that's not where you really live. Your world is not in the realm of thoughts and various mentations. Your world becomes the world which is, for easy understanding, the world that you have a little sniff from in your deep sleep. In your deep sleep, you are nothing, not doing anything with your senses. No fun. No jumping, no bouncing, nothing. You are not hearing different things, music, dance, etc. You are not exercising your intellect. You are not seeing your ego ballooned up. And you are at your best. Free of all this, you become especially charged in a mystic way, day by day. But that's the way nature brings you to a state of being recharged. If you begin to follow the path of spirituality, then you learn from that sleep experience. And don't wait until nature puts you to sleep. You develop a divine nature within you to recognize that no matter how things go on in your senses, in your mind, your intellect, deep down you are, beyond all this, timeless. And it is that experience of transcending the world that becomes the source of all the beauty and the grace that a human being can express through his personality. In other words, if you are moving to God realization, a secondary aspect is you are creating upliftment of culture. Knowingly, unknowingly, it becomes automatic. A heart that resonates, that is in tune with God, and resonates with the heart of thought. That heart is the source of all that is elevating, inspiring. That heart is the basis of all religions of the world. And that's God. That's described in a broad way, Devaloka, the world of gods. The world of gods is not really many gods, the God. But as long as you are not in the highest level, you go on turning your mind to different aspects of God. So the mind is limited. You are thinking of God. You cannot think of God in all his entirety. Mind being limited, you take an aspect. God is untouched by everything. Asanga. God is the source of all compassion. God is source of all joy. He is ananda. So each attribute is a God. Thereby there are thousands of gods. But that's a different matter. The first point, one who lives with the purpose of attuning himself to God, that's the highest purpose and the best aspect of fulfilling your purpose. Insofar as he studies the Vedas, he becomes the world of the rishis. In order to give you a simple summarized version, the Upanishad is leading you to understand five great yajñas. Yajña, as I've already explained, is that process by wherein the negative you are sacrificing and you are sublimating what is crude within you into something sublime. And there are five types. First type I've described in relation to God. Second type in relation to sages, rishis who have experienced God. What have they done? They have given scriptures. If you are studying those scriptures through satsanga, through under guidance, those scriptures cannot be studied just by anyone. You have to have a guidance. So in proper guidance, when you study the scriptures, thereby you are paying debt to sages. Everyone has come with five debts. It's a figurative language. The first debt and foremost debt is to God. That you pay by that profound yajna, which I have explained. Deva yajna, by developing divine qualities. Rishi yajna, you pay. Rishi yajna implies you are taking advantage of the scriptures. By studying them, you are developing insight into your purpose of life, insight into how to turn your life into a process of integral yoga. Gaining insight into the Gita, the Upanishads, and various scriptures. Otherwise, all great books are just shut somewhere. Somebody writes a great book. Suppose your friend or someone in your family has written a great book and given a gift for the book to you, and all that you have done is put into a box. Having received the gift of the book, it becomes your duty to feel indebted. Read it. Thereby you are paying the debt. Read the scriptures. Gain insight from them. There are lots of knowledge. Gain insight into those great scriptures. Just by doing that, you are as if pleasing the spirits of sages. They become happy. Allegorical. Insofar as he pleases the forefathers, desires progeny, he becomes the world of Pitris. Pitris relate to forefathers. You are indebted to your forefathers. But whenever we say forefathers, Don't turn your mind to those forefathers that have been source of trouble. Forefathers is a broad word. You have descended. How far can you go back? If your mind is really advanced, you are coming from God Himself, Brahma. Your roots, the ultimate root is in God. Don't become too distracted in looking for your roots. That becomes an entertainment to the mind. But no matter whatever it is, if it helps a person to go into the roots, look for father, grandfather, etc., etc., where they have been, what type of life they lived, becomes a good story. But the purpose behind should be, are you getting to be enriched by all that? If you are becoming benefited, becoming a better person, then you are really paying your debt to your forefather. So that point, that you live to glorify your forefathers, no matter who you were, whoever might be your forefathers, if you become a devotee of God, if you become very spiritually successful, people will turn to you and read your history. And they go on remembering your father, your grandfather, and all that, how you have descended. You are glorifying them. You are paying debt. Next type of debt, insofar as he gives shelter and food to men, he becomes the world of men. He says, becomes the world of men, it's allegorical term. Means he's paying his debt to human beings. Everyone is indebted to society. You come into the world and many things have been provided for. All types of comfort. Even the most advanced cell phones, all technical computers, etc., they all become available to human beings. And it becomes your duty, therefore, to promote happiness and contribute to things that will help society in different ways. The spirit of service, then that's called Niyagya. And you have not paid all your debts. Last debt is for beasts, birds, ants, all the bhutas, all creatures. Simple point that all life is interconnected, ecology. And therefore, regard for animal existence and enabling the animals to be treated with compassion, that becomes your great duty. Thereby you are paying your debt to animals, birds, etc. So in Hindu culture, very simple thing is taught to every Hindu, that always remember that you are indebted. You have to pay five debts. Debt to God by developing devotion. Debt to rishis, sages, by studying the scriptures. Debt to forefathers by doing something in your life that will give glory to your forefather. Something good. Build up a household life that exudes qualities of humanity. And likewise, pay your debt to all animals and birds. Live here a life where you can see forests flourishing with all types of creatures. So they are each helping each other. And those who are very orthodox Hindus, when they start taking their food, five times they bring out a pinch of food as an act of paying these five debts. And whatever they have brought out that goes to somewhere, some dog or cat or bird. And with this I will conclude. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.